Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. On a Tuesday afternoon, looking to take your tangents across civic media. Got Evan on the production board. E, how are we doing today, my friends?
Today's the day.
Today is the day. It is election day here in the state of Wisconsin. It's kind of like when you get to go to Six Flags growing up as a kid. Did you ever have those planned days on the calendar where you knew you were going to the amusement park? You were going to have a lot of fun?
Nah, the parents knew better, right? They weren't going to plant that seed ahead of time. You know, it was going
to
be a
surprise.
You'd
ask about it too much, they'd just have to just drop it on you, you know all of a sudden. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. See, we knew it was a day that would get circled on the calendar, and that's what election days are like around here, eagerly anticipating all the Wisconsinites across the state going to the polls, because everybody has at least one race on their spring primary ballot, that being the state Supreme Court race, four candidates vying for the top two spots. As Todd Alba pointed out for us yesterday, you can only vote for one of those four candidates, though. You cannot vote for two. You can only vote for one. So as you are making a plan to be a voter today, please make sure you take that into consideration, voting for one of those four candidates. And then, depending on where you live around the state of Wisconsin, you could have a variety of different local elections on your ballots as well, ranging from mayors, city council seats. It varies municipality by municipality, but make sure that you make a plan to be a voter today, February 21st, for the spring primary here in Wisconsin. If you did not register beforehand or you recently moved and you need to register, Wisconsin is a same-day registration state. You can register at your polling place. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov. And you can learn all about how to register, same-day registration here in Wisconsin, where your polling location is, and you can reach out to your local clerk and ask any questions that may pop up as you make a plan to be a voter.
They're happy to help.
They are. Yeah. They are happy to help. And Evan, you, my friend, you are a voter today, correct?
That's right. That's right. Oh, man.
No sticker?
No sticker. I lost it already, almost immediately. But it's such a big one. Everybody, this one, it's really important.
Well, we're going to do this again in like 6-7 weeks.
And it'll be the most important election of our lives, right? But it's
every time.
If people get the vibe, right, there's kind of an ongoing theme here that it is every time. It's really, really important.
It is a habit. Voting is not just something that you do one-off. It is your constitutional right, but it is a habit. If you make a habit to be a voter, you will vote in elections. And today is an election that has consequences. You want to go and be a participant in our democracy today. Again, the website, myvote.wi.gov. If you have any questions, you can utilize that as a resource to make a plan to be a voter today. If you'd like to share any tangents surrounding your election day voting, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media here in Madison on Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state in Waukesha on the Shaw, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, news from the center in Richland Center, WGBW in Green Bay, and Lake Air in Amory, Wisconsin. Again, the number to call if you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. I am Luke Mathers. Want to thank Evan for being on the production board this Tuesday afternoon for Election Day. Evan, I know you lost the sticker already. Did you happen to catch what number you were at your polling location?
I didn't.
No?
No, last time I was proud, too. I was like number 17. I went later today, though. It was closer to lunchtime. Not huge lines, but I heard, for example, in Jefferson County, Fort Atkinson, as of, you know, 10 a.m., there had been 500 people.
500 people in Fort Atkinson?
Yeah, I mean, it's a smaller town, you know? Yeah.
That is a smaller town, but I wonder if they have, they must have some other local elections, too, that would be driving turnout.
Sure.
But, or it could all be for the state Supreme Court.
It's that important.
It is that important. So you want to make a plan, be a voter today. Earlier today, news broke here in Dane County on the border of Dane and Greene counties, where a little incident broke out at a polling place, and it seems like it was not related to voting efforts, but reading from some reporting originally at the Associated Press, a gunshot fired outside of a polling site Tuesday forced election officials in the small Wisconsin village to move to their backup voting location. A county election official said voting was delayed for about an hour and a half in the village of Brooklyn after sheriff's deputies locked down a community building that served as the village's sole polling site, according to Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald. A 75-year-old man was arrested 2.5 hours after the incident was reported and charged with disorderly conduct while armed. Greene County Sheriff Jeff Sucktrude said in a news release, and I apologize, Sheriff, if I'm pronouncing your last name incorrectly, but down there in Brooklyn, the village of Brooklyn, Wisconsin, voting at the polling place has been moved to the backup secondary location, and It's troubling, Evan, because initially you get concerned that this is, and there have been increased threats for our election officials around the state because a lot of hearsay. A lot of Republican elected officials have tried to allude that there is malfeasance going on in our elections. And so when you see a report that there is disorderly conduct, there are law enforcement officials on the scene, and a polling site is being shut down because of that, something very similar happening, I believe, in West Bend last November. Yep. When it came to the midterm. So this isn't necessarily a one-off thing, but it seems like it was unrelated to the election officials being staffing the elections. It seems like there was a disagreement from two residents, but this individual, 75-year-old man, arrested for disorderly conduct and the firing of a firearm in this municipal building.
And thank goodness that it is unrelated, but if you only get half that story, it does not help.
And if you only have 15, 20 yeah. minutes, 30 minutes to be a voter today, it could deter your plans to vote.
Someone almost certainly.
So,
yeah.
It is definitely something that causes disruptions. We hope all the best for the village of Brooklyn. Hopefully they're getting things sorted out. I know that there are concerns and possible extensions, but the polling locations as of right now, as of what I've last seen reported on it, still closing at 8 p.m. That is when polls close across the state of Wisconsin. So you want to make a plan to be a voter between now and just under 6 hours from now. And as the polls close, you'll be able to tune in to Civic Media for special election night coverage happening across the network of news talk radio stations in the Civic Media family. You're going to be able to tune in for an extended hour of the Devil's Advocates from 6 to 7 p.m. this evening. After that, we're getting a bonus hour of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Madden-Air filling in from 7 to 8 p.m., taking us in that hour right before the polls close. And then Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, and Civic Media News Director Terry Bell, going to be holding down the fort here in the Solidarity Realty Studios for the election night coverage that we will be broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin. You're going to want to tune in. That starts at 8 p.m. tonight across the Civic Media Network. And we're going to be able to jump from station to station around the state of Wisconsin, talking about the local election results and taking those statewide Supreme Court primary results as they come in. So you're going to want to tune in to Civic Media all day long.
We've done this several times
right? This is routine, like I said.
And it's amazing.
It is a holiday almost. It is like going to Six Flags as a kid. You got to be excited because there's so much. There's so much fun things to do, so much room for activities, and we're going to be talking about them all day long here on Civic Media.
And it even feels special to me as the guy at the board who's going to be staying here all night long.
You're the conductor. You get to...
Right? It's fun. Yeah.
There you go.
I love working with everybody. It's an event, like you said.
Yeah.
And it feels special. This is not something that we've had before.
No, this is, we were thrilled to be able to provide it. Yeah. It was, Civic Media was thrilled back in November to be able to offer this coverage for the midterm elections. And this is something that we plan to continue to do as we go on with broadcasting our statewide network. We want to bring the results to you here on the airwaves. You're going to be able to tune in to Civic Media. Let's head over to the phone lines. We've got Gene in Oregon calling in to Dueling Tangents. Gene, what's on your mind on this Tuesday afternoon?
Hi, I'd like to talk about voting, but this other thing has been bothering me. All these states are talking about, well, if we don't get our way, we're going to secede. My opinion is, ta-ta, goodbye, don't let the door hit you on the way out, if that's what you want, because most of them are taker states, so...
Well, Gene, I have a feeling you're referring to the comments made by Marjorie Taylor Greene, congresswoman from Georgia, where earlier this week or over the weekend, I forget exactly when she put out the statement online, but essentially alluding to that there should be a divorce. There should be a divorce of red states and blue states. And my question for the congresswoman, Gene, would be, well, where does Georgia fall in that category? Because of late in federal elections, Georgia's two Democratic senators in the U.S. Senate and voted for President Joe Biden in 2020. So is she in a blue state? It's a purple state for sure. If you want to take, though, the most recent statewide elections that they've had in Georgia, there have been more Democratic statewide wins than Republican statewide wins, and I don't think she actually knows which way she would go on that divorce. I think she's asking for one side, but I don't know if she'd necessarily be getting what she'd be asking for.
Well, I've been waiting for this for a long time. I think all these states that think that it would be so smart if they just seceded so they could do things their way, they should do it.
I disagree with that sentiment, Gene. I believe we are the United States of America, and I don't believe there is any room for secession talks. So when a sitting woman, congresswoman, decides to start spouting those viewpoints, I think it's time to question whether or not she should still be sent to Congress, because that sounds a little bit more like sedition than actually taking her oath of office seriously. But appreciate your phone call, Gene. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. You can share a tangent. 844-967-2789. We're going to continue the conversation. We'll be right back.
It sounds like these time and time again.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You can join me on the phone. Share a tangent with me, 844-967-2789. Evan's lightly screening those calls. And we're thrilled to be able to take those tangents. But before we head back over to the phone lines, Evan, as I was previewing, everything that you can do today to be a voter and make a plan to be a voter in the spring primary election, I completely forgot to mention that Corrine Hendrickson is going to be joining us at 2:30. She is a member of the leadership team for the Main Street Alliance here working in Wisconsin to promote small business solutions to the problems that we face. And last week, Governor Tony Evers unveiled a plan for paid leave in his budget address. And so Corrine is going to be joining me at 2:30 to have a conversation about what paid leave would mean for individuals in the care, in caregiving, in the industry of caregiving, and what it would mean for families here in Wisconsin. So really excited to have that conversation with Corrine Hendrickson coming up at 2:30. But between now and then, we'll share a couple tangents, and we got a few on the phone lines coming in. We got Jeannie in Eau Claire. Jeannie, what's on your mind this Tuesday, primary day here in Wisconsin?
First of all, I want to thank you guys for your public service with the election result coverage. It's outstanding, guys. I used to have to go to all these different websites to try to find out who was winning where, how many people were out to vote, different things like that, and you had to keep checking back. And you guys covered, honest to goodness, outstanding. And the personalities, all of the different talents that you guys have from all different sides of the state, it really really is amazing. I hate using that word, but it is amazing. And then, you know, the guy that you have there at the controls, man, what a gifted guy. So thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to it. And I hope everybody checks it out, because I think it's outstanding. Thank you, guys, and good luck tonight. I'm looking forward to listening to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeannie.
We have the best callers. It's wild.
We do. She didn't want to share anything else. Jean, I didn't even get a chance before you hung up to ask if she had already voted today or if she was planning to be a voter. But yeah, that was so nice of you, Jeannie, just calling in to tell us how great we are. And now our ego's a little inflated, but that's okay. When we do excellent work like delivering the election results to Wisconsinites here on Civic Media, I think it's pretty cool when we get praise like that as well. So thank you so much, Jeannie. Let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Dick and Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Oh, real quick, yeah, there's an update from out there in, I was home over the noon hour in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. That was a dispute over a tree that was going to be taken down, from what I understand.
So it was two disgruntled neighbors, essentially, Dick?
Yeah, basically.
I saw that there was a dispute. I didn't see that for sure that it was over a tree. So that is...
Yeah, it's a tree removal.
It's good to know that it wasn't malfeasance against our election officials then. Because unfortunately, with the headlines that we've been seeing of late, that was where my mind went first. And I have a feeling others out there had similar thoughts as well.
To Marjorie Taylor Santos, I think that she's divorced now, and those two should hook up, actually. I mean, they'd be a perfect couple, and neither one of them can utter a sentence without it being a lie. And, you know, she's been out of the news a couple of days. Of course, I read that was because he was in the Daytona 500 over the weekend. But anyway, on the serious side, yeah, I voted, and... I just can't wait for 6-7 weeks from now.
All right, Dick. Appreciate that. Yeah, I see. I heard that George Santos was playing in the NBA All-Star game, so that's where I thought he was busy, not the Daytona 500, but I'm glad that you clarified that for me.
I think both.
Both. Oh, okay. Terrific. Making it around.
The game was at night.
Yeah, but Salt Lake City and Daytona are pretty far apart, so we'll have to do a little bit more research on finding out where George Santos was exactly over this past weekend, but appreciate the phone call. You could be like Dick, or you could be like Tom in L.A. L.A., Tom, how are we doing today?
It looks good. So, first off, we the people are the government.
Today is the day that you show
that we the people are the government. So if you haven't gotten out and voted, make sure you grab a friend, grab three or four friends, and vote. Vote for Judge Janet, and get out there and vote in as many numbers as you possibly can, because lower vote turnout, unfortunately, but that's how it works in this country. Second, love Jeannie. Love it that she's from Eau Claire, and I will ditto everything she said about Civic Media. It's a great, great, truthful place. And as far as Taylor Green goes, Taylor Green, she should really start wondering, if you start getting rid of a place like California, which is the fourth largest economy in the world, that her plan may not work out so well. And not only that, if anybody has taken the money, it's the red states, and this is of course factual. The red states are taking the money from the blue states. We would actually have a very, very high dollar amount. I'm not for seceding, but if you do look at where all the problems have occurred, it doesn't seem like we really won the war after all, because we gave them concessions with the Electoral College. We gave them concessions in so many different places after the North won the war.
Well, I mean, the Electoral College was in place. The Electoral College was in place, though, when the Constitution was written. I don't think that was a ramification of the Civil War, but I don't understand. Again, yesterday, we talked about how these train companies were so large that need to be broken up, that these unions should not be busted for the rail workers. We have children being found out that they're working in meatpacking industries. Now we have calls for secession from the South. It is a very strange time here in the United States, and it begs the question, are we in the middle of the 1800s, or is this 2023? But we'll continue to have the conversation, and we appreciate your tangent, L.A. Tom. You could be like L.A. Tom, or you can stay tuned for a conversation with Corrine Hendrickson of Main Street Alliance's leadership team talking about paid leave. We'll continue this conversation after this quick break. Cause I'm sure it isn't good, and I'm glad I haven't yet. That's the impression that I get. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, you can head over to the website, civicmedia.us. You can see the growing pattern of coming soon stations across the state of Wisconsin. You can follow the network on Twitter, at civicmediaus. You can follow the show there as well, at Dueling Tangents. And now we're going to have a conversation about a proposal last week in the state of this, the state's budget address given by Governor Tony Evers. He included a provision in his biennial budget proposal that would include paid leave. And so in what this would actually mean for Wisconsinites, I wanted to have a conversation, reached out to the team over at Main Street Alliance, and Sean Fetteplace, the Midwest Regional Director, said, I have just the person for you to speak with on this topic. Corrine Hendrickson has owned and operated Corrine's Little Explorers Family Child Care Center in New Glarus, Wisconsin for 15 years. In 2020, she co-founded Wisconsin Early Childhood Action, a grassroots group that advocates for policies and funding for early childhood educators and the children they care for and educate. And Corrine currently serves on the Wisconsin Main Street Alliance leadership team. On the phone, joining us now here on Dueling Tangents, Corrine Hendrickson. Corrine, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hello, and thank you for having me. I am doing well.
Glad to hear it. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your Tuesday afternoon. Since it is Election Day, and I have asked Evan and the callers as they've called in so far today, have you already voted today, or do you have a plan to be a voter later today for the spring primary?
I am going to go as soon as the last child gets picked up and go vote, and then go pick up my grocery order for before the storm comes.
Perfect. There we go. So the plan to be a voter, love to hear it. I voted early in-person absentee voting in the November election. I really liked it. And then with all of the things leading up over these past 2 weeks during the early vote window for in-person absentee, I didn't get to it. So I plan on voting later today as I get off the air later. I will be heading to my polling location and filling out my ballot in person myself as well. So glad to hear that you have a plan to be a voter. And really want to appreciate you for joining me here on the airwaves for having a conversation about what paid leave could look like here in Wisconsin following Governor Tony Evers including a provision for a policy that would enact it over the next biennial budget beginning for January 1st, 2025. So we got a little bit about you with that bio introduction, but for your role with Main Street Alliance, can you tell us a little bit more about your business in New Glarus and how you came to be a member of the organization Main Street Alliance?
So my business is a family child care, and I currently have about 9 children that I care for and educate every week, not all at the same time. I have a few part-timers in there, and I'm a very play-based program, so that means that I am child-led, teacher-supported, so every day is very, very different. I became a member of Main Street Alliance because part of my work with WeCan was also to be on some presentations and panels with Opportunity Wisconsin, and Main Street Alliance was one of the sponsors of one of those, and that's how I got connected to Sean about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Fantastic. And so over those last 2 years, I know Main Street Alliance has grown, and you being a member of the leadership team, paid leave has been something that the organization Main Street Alliance has advocated for. And here in Wisconsin, it is now, at least for the time being, a proposal for the upcoming biennial budget. What can you tell us a little bit about the EVERS proposal and what it would mean for care providers like yours here in Wisconsin?
So a little bit about the paid family medical leave is that it would allow every single person who needs to take off, including self-employed. Currently, if you're self-employed, we do not have access to paid family medical leave, or even if you work for a company with 50 or fewer employees, they do not have to participate in the disability. What that means in Wisconsin is that actually, yes, your job is protected for 12 weeks, but you do not necessarily get paid during that time. Some people have some disability insurance, but it's generally around 50 to 60% of their normal income, and they have to use all their vacation up first. So that means if you have surgery or if you have a baby, you have to take all your vacation time, then you get paid, very reduced rate, and then continuing on for the following year, you don't have any paid time off to utilize when you get sick or the baby gets sick or anything like that. And so this would be very helpful because everyone would be able to pay into this a very small amount, kind of like Medicare, Social Security, where you pay in a little bit, but then you get it back. Although this way, you only have to do that if you then require surgery or time off or something. The way Governor Evers has it set up, it's also if you aren't able to access childcare, you would be able to access this paid family medical leave as well. So let's say, your childcare program shuts down for a couple weeks because of illness, hand, foot, mouth, all kinds of different things come through our programs. Or let's say your program unexpectedly closes, like the East Side of Madison. They just informed all their families that they were closing in a week. So this would give you a little bit of a cushion and an opportunity to still pay your bills while you are accessing other child care. It would help a lot of my families out. Myself would have been included. I had my baby 14 years ago, 6 weeks early. I could only afford to take 4 weeks off because that was unpaid, and then my family also didn't have time to take off in order to take care of their children while they waited for me to reopen. And so I think this would really just help everyone out across the board. A lot of people think it's just for those having children, but really it's for if you need to have surgery, if your parents need to have surgery, your child needs to have surgery, your spouse needs to have surgery, cancer treatment, all kinds, has a car accident, all kinds of things happen that then can put people into bankruptcy. And this would be a way to keep people, functioning and in their homes and able to keep a roof over their head and feed themselves and their families.
Yeah. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined right now by Kareen Hendrickson, owner of Kareen's Little Explorers in New Glarus, Wisconsin, and a member of the Main Street Alliance leadership team here in Wisconsin, talking about paid leave proposal by Governor Tony Evers included in his budget address last week. And Kareen, one of the things, as Evers pointed out, he tried to allude to with the $7 billion surplus that we currently have as a state, it is an instrumental time right now that we can choose to invest in our state. Cynics to that called a lot of the proposals that Evers outlined in his budget address last week a laundry wish list, essentially, saying that that's not necessarily the priorities of the Republican legislature, but something like paid leave and a program that would level the playing field and provide a paid leave program for the entire state seems like it should be something we should all just be able to get behind. This doesn't seem like it has to be a partisan issue. And in fact, Corey Hess, reporter over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, outlined in a piece published earlier today, talking about this is something that people want. Nearly two-thirds of Republicans polled by the Marquette University Law School last November favored paid leave. In fact, both the two leading candidates for the Republican gubernatorial candidacy last November, both Rebecca Clayfish, former lieutenant governor, and construction businessman Tim Michaels, indicated favorable positions for a paid leave program here in Wisconsin. Do you believe that this is something we could see some compromise on, or what are your thoughts on the practicality of this proposal introduced by the Evers administration last week?
Well, I definitely feel that there is room for conversation and that if our elected representative truly believes that hardworking Wisconsin families deserve to, you know, survive and maybe even thrive, then we need to discuss what that really means in practice. So, like, if they always talk about how small businesses are their bread and butter and that they really support small businesses. Well, one way to prove that would be to support programs like this that those of us that own and operate small businesses all completely support, because it's a way for us to thrive. It's a way for us to stay in business. It takes down barriers because we can recruit and retain our employees instead of them going to work for a company that does provide paid family medical leave. And, you know, it would, a lot of us can start businesses, but it's really, really difficult to keep them open and maintain them because life happens. And, you know, this is common sense and it's also normal. The rest of the world, except for 6 countries, have paid family medical leave policies. So really, we're making a choice as a state. Our elected representatives are choosing to put people into poverty by not investing in these programs that will absolutely keep them out of poverty and absolutely keep businesses open and keep, you know, families together and in their homes and not have to access other means of social supports that we have, such as unemployment then or food stamps or healthcare, because they will be able to keep their jobs and they'll be able to stay in their homes and pay their bills, even if something happens that's out of their control, like an accident, cancer, you know, surgery, things like that, or even in control because they want to have the choice to have a family and be able to take some time so they can bond with their babies before sending them off to somebody, before they're even ready to go back to work or even necessarily healed. I know of people who have taken babies at 2 or 3 weeks. They've gotten exceptions from the state because the person absolutely could not take any more time of work or would have lost their home.
Yeah, if we want to make Wisconsin an attractive place for young families that are interested in moving to Wisconsin, as we know there will be a workforce shortage by the end of this decade if we do not attract more workers to move here and become Wisconsin residents, I feel like paid leave could be a bipartisan common sense approach to be able to make Wisconsin a more attractive destination for young families. Because if you are just starting out and you can't take that time off to be with your family as you're choosing to go through and birth a child, I feel like that is going to be one more thing that leads to young families choosing other states that may be implementing programs like this while Wisconsin sits on the sidelines if this isn't something we're able to get done. And so if people want to learn more about Main Street Alliance and how they can advocate for policies and programs like this paid leave proposal brought forth by the governor last week, Kareen, how can they learn more about what Main Street Alliance is up to and how they can get involved?
They can go to www.mainstreetalliance.org and see what all of our different plans are throughout the country and throughout the state of Wisconsin. And I completely agree with you. We're losing 10 to 15% of our young people every single year in their 20s to other states because they have better policies, better outcomes, and better opportunities, to be frank. And there's no reason that we should be losing all of these young people, and we should be able to attract and retain people to come to our state because it's a great state.
It is. I am Wisconsin to my bones. I am a hometowner. I will be until the day I leave this earth. But I it is frustrating sometimes to see when there is hesitancy for a program. Again, the state has a $7 billion surplus for the opportunity right now to invest in it. The reporting, again, over by Corey Hess over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, $243 million to jumpstart the program. Now, that may sound like a large dollar amount for a proposal like this, but that is a mere fraction of the $7 billion surplus the state currently has to be able to invest in this upcoming biennial budget. So really excited to hear about Main Street Alliance's work on this issue. I was thrilled to see that it was included in the governor's budget address last week. Again, Kareen Hendrickson of Leadership Team of Main Street Alliance and owner of Kareen's Little Explorers Family Child Care Center in New Clarus. Kareen, I really appreciate you taking your time out of your Tuesday afternoon to join me and let us know a little bit more about what this proposal would mean. Greatly appreciate it. We'll have you on the show again soon, hopefully.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Corrine. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with me, Luke Mathers, on this Tuesday afternoon. It is Election Day. You got a few more hours before the special election night coverage kicks off. We got one more segment left in the day. You want to stay tuned for a couple more headlines and maybe a few more phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media here in the state of Wisconsin. Again, if you want to learn more about what we're doing as a network, you want to sign up to learn more, civicmedia.us is the website. We'll be right back. Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. Evan on the production board. No big guy today. He is off at an undisclosed location. We wish him the best. He will be here, though, tonight for the election night coverage. He's going to be doing everything he can to make sure we put out the finest product here at Civic Media for all your election night results. You're going to want to tune in. We got special extended Devil's Advocates from 6 to 7 p.m., a bonus hour of Dom and Crute. Then you get a bonus hour of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bryan and Jane Matinere from 7 to 8. Polls close at 8 p.m., but if you are in line at your polling location at 8, you get to stay in line. It is your constitutional right. They cannot kick you out if you're there in line to vote by 8 p.m. You will be able to vote. And then once those polls close, you're going to want to tune in for those election results. We'll be covering them across the state of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. And got a story that I'm going to talk to you about. What could the ramifications be if a certain someone got on to the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Moving on from today's primary and then the April general. But before we get to that story, let's take a tangent real quick off the phone lines. We got Angie in Monroe calling in. Angie, what's on your mind today?
I just want to say, I talked my friend into voting, and she hasn't apparently voted since Bush. And then while we were at the DMV, there was another older lady there that we were talking, and she was getting her idea, and I'm talking, she's like, looked like she was like in her 80s kind of older lady. And there was another older lady that was saying that one of the other polling places that we have, because I live in the country and then we have one in town, that there was a really long line there. So that's really, really good. And our numbers were up in our county because we were like one night, I was like 117, my friend was 119. So I just want to say, if I can talk my friend into it, we all can do this. So if everybody brings one friend, especially a female friend, you can talk them into it.
Absolutely.
I wanted to mention that.
Talking to your networks today and encouraging them to be voters is an absolute terrific way to encourage participation in our local governments, in our state governments, in democracy as a whole. And that is excellent to hear, Angie. Really appreciate the work you're doing out there in Monroe to encourage individuals to be voters. And folks, if the website, again, myvote.wi.gov, if you need to learn more, we have same-day voter registration here in the state of Wisconsin. So it's not too late. You can still register to vote. You can find out all the details that you need to go with that at myvote.wi.gov.
And it's easy.
It is.
Really. I mean, a lot of people think it's more complicated, that you need to set aside more time. We do a good job. We do a great job in Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin election officials are tremendous, and hats off. Please thank your poll workers as well when you go and you participate today. They are taking time out of their normal schedules to work those polling stations. You absolutely want to thank them as well. And please do not get into any disputes about a tree like what we had down in the village of Brooklyn. Let's just avoid that altogether, folks. But plenty of time. Polls are open for just over 5 more hours here in the state of Wisconsin. But a story here in Wisconsin about what one of the four candidates running for the state Supreme Court previously was paid for working on, quote, election integrity and advising fake electors. This is a little questionable, Evan. Did you see this headline?
No, no, give it to me.
Daniel Bice over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headlined, Supreme Court candidate Daniel Kelly was paid $120,000 by Republicans to work on election integrity and to advise on fake electors.
This just, it keeps going, man. It keeps going.
This, like...
It's shocking. Honestly shocking. It shocks the conscience at how blatant this is.
Folks, this is tremendously frustrating, because Daniel Kelly acting like he is the real conservative in the race, the constitutional conservative, getting millions of dollars piped in from out-of-state donors like Dick Uihlein, funding all of these ads telling you that Dan Kelly is the true conservative in the race, for the establishment, a lot of people that worked for or were part of the Walker administration getting behind Dan Kelly. He was Walker's appointee to the Supreme Court. He was never elected to it in the first place. He was appointed to it by the former governor, the former Republican governor, and lost pretty heavily on the actual ballot when it came to running for a full term back in 2020.
Like over 100,000 votes.
Yeah, like
handily lost. Yeah. Yes.
Wisconsin landslide. Like, if you want to call Evers' 3.5-point landslide, yeah. I don't know what to call that. That's a Wisconsin tsunami, I guess. I don't know. Usually that only gets reserved for Senator Baldwin's wins when she won in 2018, but we can use a Wisconsin tsunami in that case as well. But how frustrating is that he is now back running for another full 10-year term, but during his time between getting his rear end handed to him in 2020 at the polls, he then worked on the fraudulent electors case, advising Republicans, you know, the very conservative thing to do, to make a fake slate of electors without evidence, contend that the former president, Donald Trump, won the state's 10 electoral votes without any evidence, without any actual material evidence, because they've lost every single court case. If they had any evidence, we would have seen it in the countless court cases that were brought before with state courts and federal courts since 2020. And he advised these individuals on how to go about that scheme to use Senator Ron Johnson as a mule to get those 10 fraudulent electors for both here in Wisconsin, the 10 electoral votes in Wisconsin, and Michigan's electoral fraudulent votes, to then Vice President Mike Pence and overturn the rule of law and the constitutional order of peaceful transfer of power. That's the true conservative in the race. That's Dan Kelly. That's what this, he was paid $120,000 to consult in the behind the scenes scheme to fraudulently overturn the state's 2020 election results. That's who some conservatives are telling you to back openly in this primary. And it is fascinating. So if you don't think that this individual, if he were to make it to the state Supreme Court, would it side with the three conservative justices that dissented in the opinions and the court ruling saying no, Wisconsin's 2020 election was properly decided? If Dan Kelly's on that seat, you can believe that he's going to side with those three dissenting judges, and that would be a 4-3 majority in the wrong direction.
And then he'd look you in the face and saying he's doing the right thing.
It is tremendously, tremendously frustrating that this individual could even openly run for a state Supreme Court office. But again, we've had zero accountability for those 10 fraudulent electors. So we're just going to have to continue to wait to hear what the Department of Justice and the Wisconsin Department of Justice are doing about that. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Really want to thank, again, Corrine Hendrickson, owner of Corrine's Little Explorers in Nuclearis, for talking paid family leave. Want to thank all the callers. Stay tuned. It is election day here in Wisconsin. Make a plan to be a voter and listen to civic media all night long for those election results. Talk to y'all tomorrow.